Good to be in the house of God once again, amen. As I look out tonight, I've noticed that there were a lot of people who didn't care for the Sunday night service. That was a joke. We are few in number tonight, and I hope that everyone's doing well. And I understand that sometimes the man of God will get up and preach a message, but I want you to understand that I never preach a message to you God's not already preached to me.
Amen.
And if I can swallow it, praise God, so can you. Amen. So without further ado, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we will begin in verse number 12. Begin in verse number 13. Beginning in verse number 13 of Matthew chapter 5. If you're there tonight, shout a big amen.
Amen.
Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth it light, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'd like to speak to you on a simple thought tonight. Because he shines, I don't have to. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the reading of your word. Father, we earnestly pray even now, God, that your spirit will be made evident in this house. Father, we pray, God, that your spirit will fall and move upon the men that are and the women that are in this house today. Father, we pray, God, that your word, God, will not fall on deaf ears. Father, we pray for your servant, God, as he stands before your people. God, we pray that you'll fill him up, God, that he might pour into someone else here tonight. Father, not that he be lifted up, but that you and your son be edified in every way. God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And it is in your son's sweet and holy name we do so humbly pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Because he shines, I don't have to. Listen, the one thing we need to understand here is that as Jesus is preaching here, he's not preaching to the Gentiles. He's preaching to those who he came to be their king and their ruler. He's talking to the chosen people of God. He's speaking to the Jews. You say, preacher, then how and why is this applicable to me? Well, if you'll hold your horses, I'll tell you why. The thing is the Jews never carried his gospel.
Amen.
The Jews never carried the gospel of a lowly manger.
Amen.
The Jews never carried the gospel of a child born of a virgin. They never carried that gospel. They never considered that to be the true Messiah they were looking for.
Amen.
Therefore, as he's preaching to them, it does not really matter because they're not going to carry his gospel. But who did? The Gentiles carried the gospel, converting those from Judaism to Christianity. And it was the Gentiles that carried the gospel. And here is what we need to understand. The Jews are chosen. You and I were adopted. They were a part of the family of God. They have been chosen from the very beginning to be a part of the family of God. But somewhere along the way, God saw fit to adopt you and invite you into the family of God tonight. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You don't need it. It was never a necessity for you. But it is a gift. Amen. And this is what I want to show you tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about the light. Number one, it's a spiritual light. You say, preacher, what do you mean? It's not a light that you physically can see with your eyes. It's not something that's tangible that you can grab a hold of. It's not something that you can just shine, but it is an inward light. That's my first sub-point. If you're a note taker, write that down. A spiritual light, but an inward light. It is a light that dwells on the inside of you. Shout a big amen right there. It is a light that shines from the inside out. I'll tell you this, a lot of our churches and a lot of our doctrine is confused and it's backwards because we look for salvation to change a person on the outside, but God's Word never teaches that. God's Word never, when salvation is dealt with, it never deals with your outward appearance, never deals with your clothes and what you smell like. All it deals with is how you look to God. God, and let me tell you, the Bible teaches this, that God does not look on the outside, but God looks at what's on the inside tonight. And I'm telling you that churches and people and religion has made it more about how you appear in the church than where you stand in Christ. Shout a big amen right there. Well, it's an indwelling light, but not only that, it's an illuminating light. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's a light that will illuminate in your life and show you your faults and your failures. Say amen right there. Listen, what you need to understand tonight is that you are not perfect. Amen. You never could have earned the grace of God. You never will be able to. There will never be a man to walk the face of this earth that can earn God's grace. Therefore, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags, Brother Scoopy. Listen, this is the thing. Brother Scoopy was in the bar rooms. He was around them tables playing. He did all that. His mama told him he'd be a drunk before he's 25. But see, the thing is that I never knew that. I never knew of the bar rooms. I never knew of the beer. I never knew of the sinful wickedness that the world had to offer, but my righteousness was still as filthy rags. Listen, I still had to come to a throne of grace and surrender myself to God. And listen, I'm glad that He called me and I surrendered my life to Him. But it's a light, David, that will illuminate in your life. A lot of people in the church think they do no wrong. I touched a little bit on this Sunday night, and I want to correct the way that I said it. A lot of people, you'll see, come and they'll get saved. 3 weeks later, you won't see them again. That's because they had an emotional salvation without a spiritual salvation. Because they felt something. I can feel Him. But listen to me, I didn't get saved on a feeling. I got saved because I knew there was no way I could make it by myself. I didn't get saved because a preacher got up and started talking about how his sister died and she bust hell wide open. That's not why I got saved. Why I got saved was because I knew if I had to face the judgment of God, I would never make it any further. My merit, I pride myself and I pride my family on that verse. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches.
That's right.
And I can say this with the most humble heart and the most joyful heart at the same time. Almost anywhere in South Carolina I can go if I'm in a church, people know who a Jacob's is. And that has to do with the precedence that my granddaddy set.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the precedence that my daddy kept going. And that good name continues. But see, there are things that the devil will throw in there along the way to try to taint the name. He'll throw something in there to try and discourage you and try to get you down and say, oh my God, what am I going to do now? But see, what you don't understand and what you need to remember is that nothing in your life has caught him by surprise. He knows everything. He knows your very tomorrow. Praise God, he's already living in your touch. Shout a big amen. I said he's already living in your tomorrow. He knows what you are to face. But it's a spiritual light, an indwelling light, an illuminating light. Number two, it is a specific light. It's not just any light, Brother Scoopy. It is the light. The only light. See, David, what you need to understand about this text is that he's preaching to them. And what he's doing is he is showing them and teaching them and telling them that he has come to fulfill the law. He said, I've come in my Father's name to fulfill the law. And this is the thing he was telling them. I've come to do what you've not been able to do. I've come to do what you'll never be able to do. And they sit there and they didn't understand, brother. They didn't know why, what was going on. But I'm glad a few of us caught on as to what was happening. He said, I've come to do something great. And I've come to do something profound. And I've come to do something perfect. And what you need to understand is that I will do something that you'll never do. I'll pay the price you'll never be able to pay. It enjoys me. It gives me gladness of heart to do this for you. He came to fulfill, and I'm glad I'm telling you this. Not only did he obey every law there was, but he brought something with him that was greater than your sin. You say what? And I want to clarify something else. I said Sunday night, if you want more grace, go sin more. I was not telling you to go out and go sin. Amen. I'm saying that the more you fall short and the more you fall into sin, the more grace there is. If your sin is 100% grace, it's 300%. That's what grace is. Your sin is a multiplier for grace. Let me say it like that. Listen, the deeper you are, the more grace there is. There's grace enough to bring you out of where you were. There's grace enough to bring you out of the mess that you got yourself in. That's what we preach. There's grace for every need. There is abundant grace. Write this down. A specific light. It's a living light. Get this. The Bible tells us and teaches us that Jesus came to light the world up. And since he came, there will never be any more darkness. Woo, son. Said, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, I'm going to stop right now and I'm going to do it. Shine this light at me. I'm going to try this. This is the biggest mirror I could find. Is that bright in your eyes, brother? Watch this. Is that bright?
That's brighter.
What about that?
Blind.
Turn it off. You do not shine. Speak right there.
Amen.
Nothing about you shines. Preacher, what are you saying? What are you saying? You're telling me that we're the light of the world. Praise God, you are. But just as the moon reflects the sun, you reflect the sun. You are the red. And listen, let me tell you this. The closer, watch this, the closer you are to the light, the brighter your light shines. You are to carry the light that Jesus fulfilled, the law of Christ, something I could never do, something you will never be able to do. And praise God, by that I can enter in into heaven. The closer we are, the brighter our light shines. See, if I took this mirror and I'd stood up there and I'd shine that light into Skip's eyes, it wouldn't have been as bad on him. See, the closer you are, the brighter it is. The better it is, the gooder it is. Amen. But watch this. It's a living light, but secondly, it's a loving light. See, if you look at the three parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, you'll find the topic of all three. And that is a love for that which was lost.
Amen.
That the shepherd would leave the 99 and go and look for the one that didn't want to be with him.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
I said the one that did not want to be with him. If you look at the lost coin, that coin that was lost, that was precious to them women. Those women, when they were married, they were given those 10 pieces of silver, and that was theirs to hold on to. And the Bible says, won't she light a candle and sweep the whole house until she finds that what she's lost? Then it tells us about the prodigal son again, the one who left and did not want nothing to do with the father. Did not the father wait at the end of the road with open arms, hoping, searching, praying that which was lost would come back home? Let me tell you, God will never knock down your door. God will never turn your life upside down to get you to come to him. But he'll stand and he'll wait for you, and he'll send his comforter. He'll send his sweet Holy Spirit to call you, and he'll send his sweet Holy Spirit to talk with you and to bargain with your soul and to draw you to him before it's too late, because he loves you. Number three. It's a spotless light. I learned this, that when a sheep that has been born spotless and untainted was to be kept and wrapped up tight in what we like to call a manger. And what that does is that keeps it from being tainted. See, when Jesus was born, I believe that it was very significant that he was wrapped and laid in a manger. And I believe it was very significant that the angel of the Lord came to the shepherds, who knew everything about a sheep there was to know. And when they were to find... when they were to find the one babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in the place of that one which was to be spotless. Oh, don't you understand? The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy unto you. This day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's been born. He's here. Go see him. And they find him. And they find him in the place where only the spotless lay. Where are those who have been set aside for the atonement of sins. Have been set aside. And they find him there. And they go and they bring this gospel. I believe it was very specific in the shepherds knowing where he was laying. Say, preacher, that don't matter. I'll tell you this, it might not matter, but it makes a whole lot of sense. Amen. And I'm telling you what, he's not the author of confusion. I believe he's a God of order. Amen. And I believe he does things for a reason. But he's a pure line. He's pure. Untainted. I had a discussion with someone not too long ago. And David, they were saying that when Jesus was on the cross, when our sins were cast on him, it was like they dissolved. It was like, how did he describe it? Like food coloring in water, and you pour in bleach, and it just dissipates and disappears. But see, that's incorrect. Because if that were the case, and when our sins were shifted on him, and they just dissolved, then why did the blood need to be shed? Why did he need to be beat? If there was no cause for that, then why couldn't he sit on his throne and dissipate and dissolve our sins? And this is what they were saying. They said, if he wore and bore our sins, he was sinful. I said, you're wrong. Because David, he himself never tasted of sin. Never. Even up until he said, Father, I commend myself into thy spirit. He never sinned. And if he had, then our sins wouldn't be forgiven. Even if it was one sin that had tainted him. Just one, Dallas. Just one. See, the thing to understand is that our sin, imagine it like a coat. He took and put on the coat of our sin. And the whole argument is, why did God turn his head and turn his back on his only begotten son? And I believe it was because of our sin. I believe it was because of the putrid smell that come from his darling son, the one who had never touched sin, the one who had never known what sin was. And here he is so close to it, and it's on him. He's never done anything wrong, but it's so close to him. I can't look at him. I can't bear this. And his blood was shed for what he was wearing. He said, preacher, and David, I believe this. David, I believe that when you were saved, you received the entire gift of God. Amen. I believe you received, I'm talking about true salvation. I'm not talking about this no emotional stuff in kindergarten. I'm talking about life-changing, altering salvation. You receive the whole gift. God does not give his forgiveness in parts.
That's right.
It's not a gift that he separates and takes and says, here, you get this much. So there you go. Give me that. Here, you get this much forgiveness today. Here's a little bit more since you asked for it. Here's some more. See, this is the thing. If God, after you've been forgiven, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have to continually say, God, please forgive me, I did this wrong, then that would insinuate that him forgiving you the first time was not good enough, and he has to go back to the cross to pay for your sin, your new sin. See, we think it's new sin. It ain't new sin. He died for it 2,000 years ago. Shout a big amen right there. Listen, if he had to go back every time somebody had a new sin, he'd be dying every second, every second, every second. But it was good enough the first time. Yeah.
Amen.
And praise God, there's still enough blood, and the blood still flows from the mercy seat of God. Oh, from the mercy. Don't you like that word? The mercy seat of God, the blood in the fountain of Jesus Christ flows down and has covered your sin. And praise God, now that you've been wrapped in righteousness, you can now wear that pureness and that righteousness, that which is of Christ, not of yourself, but what He did for you. You did nothing. Amen, not there. It's a persistent light. It's a light that will chase after you. We're reminded of Paul on the Damascus Road. His light chased after him. Amen. And this is what was said. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard. Watch this. I never understood this until later. My daddy preached a message on it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, I have been drawing you and you're getting weaker. You're fixing to surrender. Do you understand? Listen, let me just tell you something. You did not accept Jesus Christ. You surrendered to Him. He is now your King. He is now your soul salvation. He is your go-between. He's the very reason that you'll enter into heaven. Praise God. You surrendered to Him. And He said, you're fixing to surrender. You're close. It's hard. It's getting harder day by day for you to kick against the pricks. It's a persistent light. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Amen. But lastly tonight, I'm going to be quick. Number four, it's a saving light. There's a song that Ronnie Henson wrote on toilet paper in the middle of the night. And it says, I thank God for the lighthouse. Say, preacher, the Bible says nothing about a lighthouse. Let me just tell you this. How many times have you been in a storm and that persistent light, that saving light, just begin to shine? Let me tell you this. There are storms that Paul the Apostle warned against people, said, don't go into that storm. And they did anyway. But listen, Paul was on board. And Paul got down and began to pray. And come back up and said, don't worry about it. We're going to make it. And the Bible says this, that some came in on pieces and some came in on broken, but they all were saved. Let me tell you, you might not get to the other side like you wanted to, but praise God, you're still here, amen. And let me tell you, a lot of the ignorance, that the reason that their ship broke, the reason that they were floating on broken pieces was because they did not heed to the word of the man of God. But listen, that saving light began to shine, and Paul said, don't you worry about it, boys. I've done got in touch with the one that allowed the storm to happen. I've already been in touch with the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun shine again. He is the master of the wind tonight. But listen, I got to move forward. It's a saving light. Watch this. A comforting light. How many of you ever been in the dark and turn on the light? Comfort yourself. Say, why would I do that? Because you was uncomfortable in the dark. I'm telling you what, I'm not a big fan of the dark. I'm not a big fan of being scared. I remember me and my wife were watching a movie called The Invisible Man. And we were in a king-sized bed, and I was here, and she was there, and there was a big old gap in between us. And I was into it, son. It was a good movie. She reached over and she said, "Boo." Brother David, you can't blame me for what I did. Before I knew it, I was, whoop! I was going after that invisible. I'm not a favor of those things that run in the dark. And while it's funny, it's serious. Those things that you cannot see, the things that go bump in the night. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and evil wickedness in high places tonight. Let me just tell you something. As the preacher was preaching last night, the greatest battlefield you'll ever fight on is in your mind. That is where the devil will attack you. That's where he'll tell you you're not good enough and that you're not going to heaven and that you can't be saved because you fell short. Listen, that's the devil talking. But listen, if you want God to speak, you've got to open up the Word and read it because He spoke all He's going to say until you see Him again. Amen. Listen, He spoke what you needed into existence some 2,000 years ago. And praise God, it's good then. And praise God, it's good now. It's all you'll ever need. But it's a comforting light. It's a convicting light. I told you Sunday night about how God convicted me not too long ago. And it was His light shining in my life. Saying, that's it right there. That's what you're not doing. Here's what you are doing. This is what you're not doing. And it's His light that shows us that. But not only is it a convicting life, but it's a conversional light. This saving life will comfort you, convict you, and convert you. To the lost soul, that's what that light does.
That's right.
It convicts them. And it converts them. The Bible says that we are renewed in our minds. Listen, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. We were dead. Every man has a soul. Every man. But when you are saved, the Spirit of God, which is living, moves in. And you are now a live agent of the kingdom of God. And what we're supposed to do is reflect His light.
Amen.
We stand as mere reflection. We're a reflection of what God can do. What they were supposed to, and what He was teaching the Jews to do, what they failed to do, the Gentiles took and run with it. They taught and they preached and they went out into the world and they taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what He was telling them was, He was telling them, shine this light. This is the light I want you to shine. There was one man that was great enough to fulfill the law of Christ, the law of God.
He came, He fulfilled the law. He finished the law. He saves our souls from hell. He's perfect in every way. He has the attribute of the God Father, and He has the indwelling Spirit of the God Himself. Amen. And listen, this is the gospel they wanted. This is the gospel that Jesus was telling them to take and preach. Preach one man crucified, risen and coming again. Risen and coming again to receive His church. He said, where I am, there ye may be also. That tells me He loves me enough not to leave me in the wretched state that I'm in. Listen, because I'm still a wretched sinner. I still fall short every day. But one day, like I told you Sunday night, I've been saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. Amen. This is not the end for me. But there's a great beginning on its way. Because He shines, I don't have to. All I have to do is reflect what God has done. We ought to carry that reflection into the world. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And see, this is, I was reading that and I said, you know, a lot of people could be boastful in reading that. But see, your good works are a reflection of what God did for you. Your good works are a reflection of what God has done for His people. It is through His love that you act in love. Amen. Man in his depravity would never choose Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent to draw that man to surrender. Listen, if without the Holy Spirit, you would have never said, let me go to liberty or let me come to Christ. And that's why a lot of people say, well, I can get saved any old day. No, you can't. Because see, you in your fleshly mind would never choose Him. Praise God, He sent His Holy Spirit and He chose you. And listen, the Holy Spirit draws every man, and every man is given an option to surrender or to walk away. And listen, there will be in that day some who have decided to walk away, and they will be left behind. And what a sad, sad day. For the saints of God, it's a joyful day. But for those who have not Christ in their life, it is a sad, sad day. And that should mourn the people of God so much that we should desire to be so close to the light that we shine as bright as we can. I hope that one day, no matter where we're at, people can say, He shined as bright as He could. Not as bright as He wanted to, but as bright as humanly possible. I was thinking about this today. Just because you will never reach perfection doesn't mean you should never stop trying. You will never reach perfection here. But as long as you strive for that perfection, you will see it. You will receive it. Where the Bible says we'll have a body like unto His glorious body. Amen. If Brother Raph will come and play softly tonight.